today on Real Radio.
But when the Father looks at us, when the Holy Spirit looks at us, he sees Christ. This is Christian theology. If that's true, I'm liberated.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. Now, these words were written by the Apostle John himself, hence the title, and directly written to believers. John spent a lot of time with the Messiah, and he learned firsthand the importance of genuinely living out our faith. And this is reflected in the last two verses of chapter 2, as we'll see. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Walking the Talk.
You used to sin flagrantly, boldly. You used to sit and think about sinning. Next week. Didn't you? You did. I did, but you did. And now, because you're a Christian, if you let your mind wander and it goes into areas it ought not, you're miserable. It's great. It's a sign of life. How beautiful it is, too, though, that as you walk with the Lord now, because you live with him, you know, he's inside you. At everywhere you go, your eyes, where your eyes go, his eyes. He's looking right through your eyes, the Holy Spirit. He's inside you. Now, that blows my mind because, see, when I got saved, I thought if he's inside me, there should be some sort of, I should, like, feel a little movement. I should sense something. I didn't feel anything. I used to go by all my feelings before. Then I came to Christ and he took them all away. And for years I was like, a rock. I just sat there and God weaned me of feelings. And I think that's why I'm a horrible counselor now. People come in, I just say, shut up, read your Bible. Go home. It works. It's the book. It's the book. People think, you know, can I just meet with Pastor Jack? You don't want to meet. I mean, let's go out and we'll do fish tacos, of course. It's anything, but you don't want to. It's just, you might not come back here. We live with the Lord. He lives in us. And where we take our eyes, he's looking. Where we lend our ears, he's listening. We can't say, I'm a Christian, and not expect him to be affected by what we do in this life of ours. What we say, he hears. We've been born of the kingdom. We live with him. He says in the scripture, abide in him. That's what that word means, abide. Take up residence, live with him. To take up residence. By the way, the word implies in the Greek, the word meno, it means to abide or take up residence under a hostile condition. Boy, isn't that where we live? We abide in Christ, and spiritually, we're in a hostile condition. Man, if we could see the forces that are aligned against our home tonight, we'd probably faint. Thank God we can't. Evil spirits, demons and doctrines of demons to destroy and dismantle our children, our lives, the fellowship of friends, churches, marriages, whatever is good. You know, these men that have come together in this accountability group here, just in the matter of a few weeks, already men are testifying, my life was fine until we got into this accountability group. Now I'm under attack. Welcome to Christianity, but we will conquer. I don't know about you, but don't you want to go through life, at least at the end, giving Satan a black eye, rather than just getting pushed around by him all your life? No, I want to be able to say, Lord, in Jesus' name, and if you and I have prayed together, you know many times we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, take the enemy, pull the teeth out of his mouth, And Lord, I pray that you would take the satanic forces and rip their claws out of their hands. And I mean it. I'll pray and pluck off their wings. Why? Because he can. And the world that I live in and you and I live in as a born-again Christian is hostile. Well, I thought if I accepted Christ, it was all going to be easy. Smooth. If somebody told you that or got you forward with that kind of a message, shame on them. Another thing that we realize tonight is that Christians can have assurance because we now hate the lie. And that's what John's been talking about in chapter 2. The lie is what comes from the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist. And that's important because that was back in verse 21 of this chapter. He says, Have I not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. And of course, we know that every lie comes from Satan. He's talking about false doctrine. If you're abiding in Christ, listen, if you're reading your Bible, fellowshipping with the saints, and you're growing in Christ, preferably in ministry, that you're involved in some sort of ministry, that's the best way to grow. It's great. You don't have to worry about the lie. What is the lie? False doctrine, spun by the spirit of Antichrist. You get out of fellowship, you get out of reading your Bible, you stop praying, you stop being accountable to friends. Oh, now you're open to the lie. You can get pulled away. Now's not the time to cool off in your Christian walk, but to get stronger all the more. The next thing that we see in this is very important, and that is the assurance that we have as a believer results in growth. Our assurance is to result in growth. The latter end of verse 28, he says that when he appears, that is when Jesus appears, we may have confidence, you ought to circle that word, and not be ashamed, you should circle that one as well, before him at his coming. Now listen, a lot of people, I don't understand this, I honestly don't, so I don't want you to get offended at this, but this is extremely important. A lot of Christians will say, I don't want to talk about Jesus coming back. I don't want to hear it. There are Christians who get nervous. In fact, every year, there's a handful of people who say, you know what, I'm after the conference, I'll be back. Because they're afraid of prophecy. I don't understand that. John says right here, and when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed at his coming. He's coming. The Lord is coming. I have found, you have found, that if you believe that Jesus is coming, then you want to go tell the world, tell friends and family, and you want to be busy about your Father's business because he's coming. The Lord's coming. It's a great, great shot of adrenaline regarding evangelism and church planting. Why? He's coming. John says it right here. 2,000 years ago, he said it. How much closer is he to it now? Assurance results in growth. Listen, we're assured of his return. That's what this passage in latter part of verse 28 is saying. He is coming. It says that when he appears, not if. So listen, are you claiming to be a Christian, but that bothers you that the word when here does not mean if, but when as imminent? Does that bother you? Then why? Is something wrong in your walk or in your life? The Lord would say, listen, I could come tonight, and he wants you to have confidence. This word confidence is a very powerful word. It's having boldness. It's having a face that is clean. The word means clean-faced. You have nothing to hide. You have this confidence, this boldness. Do you have this boldness? It's God's will that you have it. Listen, don't respond to me, but ask yourself right now, do you have boldness? Now listen, you might say, well, I'm a shy person. Shy is fine. But in every one of his children, he will work out a boldness in you. It might be a boldness to write letters. It might be a boldness to leave messages on phones. Honest, I like that. I'll call somebody and say, if you're not there, if you're there, please don't pick up the phone. What I want to say is, and I find it much easier to just say it to their machine, and I can get much more gooey on the machine if they pick it up. You know, maybe that's you. I could do that. Oh, just dial numbers and get machines during the day and tell Jesus Christ. You know, no, but there's a sense of boldness that the Lord wants to put in our lives, all of us. But I'm an old lady, or I'm an old man, or, you know, I've retired. You've retired? He wants to use you more. You might have retired from IBM, but now you're full-time for God. No, assurance results in our growth, and we're assured of his return, so we can be bold and strong in that. We can be confident of it. In Luke chapter 12, verse 43, the Bible says there, Luke 12, 43, blessed is that servant whom when his master comes, finds him so doing. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant of the master says in his heart, not in his mouth, but in his heart, my master delays his coming back and begins to beat his male and female servants and to eat and to drink with drunkards, then that master of the servant will come in an hour when he's not looking for him and an hour when he's not aware and will cut him in half and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Was the guy an unbeliever? It says here that he's going to be apportioned with the unbelievers. Does that mean we could lose our salvation? No. It means that those who are saved are always going to be watching and waiting. If you're not watching and waiting, something's wrong with you. You may not be a Christian. If the coming of the Lord offends you or upsets you, you certainly have no assurance, and maybe you don't know him. But are you ready? Are you ready to meet him? I heard a message recently by Chuck Swindoll regarding the rapture of the church and the imminent return of Christ, and Chuck Swindoll said this. I love it. He said, I stay ready to keep from having to get ready. It's much easier to stay ready for his return than having to get ready three times a month and hope that the Lord comes back on an up day. But just think about that for a minute. I don't believe, by the way, some of you have heard or read in books or whatever about a partial rapture theory. I think that's a bunch of baloney. If you're born again, you're going to get raptured. Well, what if I'm sinning at the moment? You are going to be embarrassed. You mean I'm not going to get left behind? No, you're going to be ashamed. It says here that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed. Why does he say that? Because some Christians are not going to be confident in his coming, and some are going to be ashamed. Will I get raptured? You're going to get raptured. Just for fun. Just for fun, though, wouldn't it be hilarious if everybody up is going up ahead of you and you're like going slower and slower up and they're getting further and further away? I mean, the Lord could do that just to drive the point home. But wouldn't that be something? Lord, I'm slipping, I'm slipping, I'm slipping. That's something I would do if I were the Lord. No, you can be in sin, and I think you'll get raptured. But you will also fulfill the first couple chapters of 1 Corinthians where it says, and you will suffer loss. Oh, you're saved, yet so by fire. Remember what it says. Every believer will be judged, and his works will be judged according to what manner they were, what motive. And he says to those who are living in a carnal life, they'll be in heaven, but they'll be judged by fire, means the intense scrutiny of the Lord regarding our motives. And though all his works be burned up, he's saved. A little smoldering. You know, hey, John, yeah. Hi, everyone. You know, I don't know. I don't want to go in that way. I want to go in with a great entrance with you and come on, you know, and bring as many people with us as possible. But are we ready? Are we ready? In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, the scripture says, and so we have the more prophetic word confirmed to us, which you do well to take heed to as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. That's a reference to Jesus Christ. Listen, concerning his coming, 1 John 3, verse 2 says, "Beloved, now we are the born ones of God, children of God. And it has not yet been revealed to us what we will be like." We don't know exactly what we're going to look like exactly. Got a close hunch or a clue, but we don't know exactly. "But we know this, that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope purifies himself just as he," that is Christ, "is pure." We need to be careful how we live. We're children of God. What we expose ourselves to, we're exposing him to. He dwells within us. But listen, Scripture tells us, and I hope you're blessed by this, not only are we to have assurance that causes us to grow, but we're assured of his righteousness. Can you mark that down? We are assured of his righteousness. Get a load of this. Watch. His righteousness. When he speaks to us about this confidence, the word confidence also is translated outspokenness, frankness. But listen, how do we get that? That almost sounds wrong for a Christian to be, you know, "I'm righteous in Jesus Christ." Doesn't that sound arrogant? But it's true. Watch this. Listen to me carefully, because this is going to sound crazy to you, and I want you to go search and see if this is true, and you'll find that it is. First of all, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things," hey, that's us, "old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself." Who's done the reconciling? Come on, who's done it? God's done it. And who has he reconciled us to? Himself. In other words, can you agree with me? He's done it all. Okay? "He has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That means we can go out and evangelize the world and cause people to come and know God too. What an amazing ministry we have. "That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer imputing their trespasses to them." That means God stopped accounting sin to you. So get a load of this. Not only are we going to be able to stand in absolute assurance now and in eternity, or when the day Jesus comes, but we'll have absolute joy and complete acceptance and absolute pleasure of God. For in his presence is pleasure forevermore. The pleasures of God. You know Jude chapter 1 verse 24. "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling." Oh man, I'm really trying hard. You know, I just fall down every week. Well, stop going over there by her house. Or stop going by that place. Or stop calling that person. Just be with him. Stay with him. Stay there. He's able to make you stand. That means he's rooting for you. Get in fellowship with him and enjoy it. And he will present you faultless before his presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now, I've always thought that this verse meant that he was going to present me before his presence faultless. And it does mean that in his glory, all of his presence, all of his wonder, with exceeding joy. His joy. I thought it was his joy. And see, this is the way my pathetic mind works. All right, Jack, you made it. Whew, all right. No, that joy is, it's my joy. I'm going to be standing in front of him. You're going to be standing in front of him with exceeding joy. Man, we need to focus on this more. The next thing that we see here is that we're assured of his reception. He's going to take us in. He's going to receive us. He won't turn us away. We can be assured of his reception. It's going to be a beautiful moment, and we look forward to that. The third point that we see tonight is assurance belongs to the believer. Assurance belongs to the believer, and that is we're assured of who he is. He says in verse 29, read it with me, and we'll be done here shortly. "If you know," you ought to underline that word, "that he is righteous," if you know that. The word "know" here means to know by divine perception. God gives that to you. God is holy. You know that? He's holy. He is holy. Do you guys understand that the Bible tells us that we cannot look at God, it will kill us. That's why God has revealed both Old and New Testament through the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because God in totality, it would kill us. But yet the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. How is that going to be possible? Because we will be, are you ready for this? We will be as holy and as pure as Christ is himself. Now watch this. According to pure biblical theology, according to the vantage point of God himself. Notice I left you out. Not your vantage point, not mine. But according to God's vantage point now, looking at you. Are you listening? You are just as righteous as Jesus Christ is now. I don't feel like it. I know, same here. But you've got to understand something. Those who are in Christ have been completely given the righteousness of Jesus as, let me put it this way, and this is not accurate, as a covering. It's more than a covering. But when the Father looks at us, when the Holy Spirit looks at us, he sees Christ. This is Christian theology. If that's true, I'm liberated. You mean God sees me that way? There's no greater thing, there's no greater power on this earth than for someone to get encouragement from another. When somebody says, you know what, I'm behind you, I'm with you. God says, I'm behind you, I'm with you. Why? Because of the holy purity of my Son, whom you're in. What does saved really mean? Either you're battling tonight to earn that, and you'll never earn it, or you're saved. And yet we struggle from day to day with our physical and spiritual weaknesses, but positionally, where is your citizenship? It's in heaven. There's nothing that's allowed in heaven that is profane or violates. Isn't that incredible? That God looks at you right now and he says, Kathy or John or Mike, you're as clean as my Son. When my Son Jesus said to you, now you are clean by the washing of the water of the word which I have spoken unto you. The Father says, I believe my Son. And I saw his blood offered up.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from the last two verses of 1 John chapter 2. The title, Walking the Talk. Walking the Talk, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through the three New Testament letters written by one of the very closest disciples and friends of Jesus, John the Apostle. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget that this being Monday, we'd like to remind you that tonight you can catch our television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs every Monday night at 7 o'clock West Coast time on hischannel.com. That's hischannel.com. Now, if you haven't seen it yet, believe me, it's very informative. It's a great TV program that's really going to get you thinking. Real Life with Jack Hibbs tackles, well, exactly that, real life issues that every believer has to deal with at some point. For instance, Israel, both ancient and modern, the religion of Islam, and all that's connected to it with Muhammad, the Quran, how Muslims view Christians and Jews, creation versus Darwinian evolution, biblical prophecy, including that that's been fulfilled and what has yet to take place, apologetics, that is defending the faith, plus a whole lot more, and all that from a scriptural Judeo-Christian worldview. Real Life with Jack Hibbs tonight at 7 o'clock West Coast time on hischannel.com. hischannel.com. We've also got a link for you right there at our own realradioactive.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.